Okay, so we are going to go back to the beginning of the Gemara on yesterday's page, and we'll still get you out early, don't worry. It's always my rule. If I go back, I have to go get out early. But anyways, we're on Nun Dalet Amud Beis, 54b, and a boy lahu. The Gemara has a question on one of the cases that we listed that there is, if a nazir goes outside the land of Israel, and that's he becomes tameh. It's a rabbinic tumah. And we talked about this, how the pagans would have shrunken heads and bodies and all kinds of things everywhere. And therefore, the rabbis put a decree that if a Jewish person traveled outside the land of Israel, he's going to have to count his naziris all over again. Well, we actually discussed whether what's the level of tumah? Can they count the days? Do they lose the previous days? They don't lose the previous days, but they can't count the days. Can they count the days that they were outside? But that's really the question about this tumah being outside the land of Israel. How does it work? And we had the famous story with Queen Helena. Helena Malka, who was for 7 years, and she comes to Israel, and they say, well, you got to do it again, right? And then she almost finishes, and then she... the question here is this rabbinic rule about leaving the land of Israel. Now, the rabbis had other reasons for doing things. And this is where the challenge comes in. There were rabbinic rules, and we don't have the records anymore of exactly why the reason for the rules and the parameters. Sometimes they deliberately didn't write the reasons because everybody would say, well, that reason doesn't apply to me. And so, then other times it's the Gemara itself that wants to flesh out what the reason was that they made the rule. They didn't want they didn't want people to travel too much outside the land of Israel. That was the discussion in the Mishnah. And so now the Gemara wants to figure out what's the reason for it, or what's the decree about leaving the land of Israel and Tumah. So, Iboy Lahu, the Gemara throws out the question, Eretz Amim, the land of the peoples. Which peoples? All the peoples. We're part of the peoples. The United States. Mishum Avira Gozer Allah. Was the decree... So, the way I chose to learn it, there are a few different ways to explain it, but is it... We're going to go with Rashi that Avira means like a lighter kind of impurity. It's a lesser impurity. It's just like go to the mikvah, you know. You have to realize that there's nothing like Israel, you know. When you're outside of Israel, you're contaminated a little bit. And you're exposed to the Gentile world. It affects you, and you have to purify yourself when you come in the land. But it's a lighter tumah. It's just being in the air. Or no, is it like Gush? Is it because of the land itself and the dead bodies itself, and it's a real concern like death tumah? That's the question. Is this a light decree, a light impurity, or a heavy impurity? So why did I say that's the issue in the Gemara? I'll just show you quickly in the Rashi. We did it yesterday as well. Iboy lehu eretz ami mishum avir nami gozela. He says, The question is, aren't you also stepping on the land? So we're going to see there's a way. What if you're just like flying through? Now, they couldn't fly through. They had wagons and they had steel. What if you go outside the land of Israel, but you're not stopping to join in the pagan festivals? You're going in a shipping container. You're going in the windows are closed. You're traveling through. So, Kalish Le Tuma, is it the lighter Tuma, O Dilma Mashum Gush, or is it because of the earth, the Tuma Chamurahi? It's a heavy duty impurity. So, the truth is, somebody asked me yesterday this question. Well, typically, if we're worried about dead bodies, wouldn't it only be Jewish dead bodies? So I answered, which is there are opinions that even non-Jewish dead bodies are a problem, but that doesn't solve the problem because, in fact, the major majority opinion is that we're only worried about it could be touching non-Jewish bodies would be a problem, but as far as stepping over or being in the building, it's only Jewish bodies. So how many, the pagans? So So Tosis over here, he answers it really. Let's take a look. So the truth is, the pagans in those days, they offered sacrifices, human sacrifices. And the humans they offered weren't just their own. They would offer you, people who would visit them, they would become the sacrifices. That was, in other words, they had a lot of Jews that were, you know, that was very dangerous to travel amongst the pagans. That's going to be one answer. The other answer, well, let's do the Tosus. I'll just show it to you quickly. Tosus, Eretz Amim ala virugozru, the land of the nation, Tosus, because of the air. Kigon, Mahalak Bashita Tevum. So he wants to know, what do you mean the air? Aren't you worried about stepping in the graves also? So he said, for example, you are traveling in one of these box, Bashita Tevum Migdal. And there's a certain rule exactly what kind of box, what kind of wagon. It's got to be very big. It has to hold more than 60 saw. She'ein mekablin tumah. Oh, ala gesher, or let's say you're on a bridge. Oh, and niktas bekeren obesfina, or you're on a boat. Sheikh mirbo yosim oh hames. They were strict on the land outside. Kedei shelo yotze mechutz me'eretz lechutz loretz. Answer number one. The rabbis were just doing social engineering. They didn't want people leaving. You leave, you're going to have to go to the mikveh before you come back. You're going to have to get the double spritz. They wanted people to not go out of the land so easily. That's answer number one. Or answer number two, it's not just that they didn't want you going visiting Chutz Loretz. We have no choice. We're born here in Chutz Loretz. Dilma Mishum Gusha Dafka Hamal Al Gusha. It's because you're going to lean over the earth. So his first answer is that the people during the flood, all the dead bodies in the flood, were buried all over the world. So when you go to Chutz Loretz, you're going to be by automatically stepping over. I used to live in Ohio. They always used to find Indian mounds up there. You know, you're going to find dead bodies. They massacred them everywhere, or they buried them everywhere. That's one answer. Or mifnei rov Yisrael shenorgu b'chutz loretz. Or they would kill Jews in Chutz Loretz in certain places. In the Muslim countries, the Quran is all about them wiping out Jews. You know, he was
the first response though about. The Mabul are everywhere. That shouldn't matter because they weren't Jewish.
So I'm wondering if that's going like the view that was, that maybe even non-Jews do cause contamination. He doesn't say it, but I'm just reading the words. Yeah, you're right. The people of the Mabul weren't. What's interesting, though, is it goes into the question, well, I was going to say, what was the status of Jews before the Torah? But there were no Jews. There was just Noach. So maybe it means Noach's sons, with Noach's sons who potentially Shame we came from.
And Shame was after the Mabul.
Well, he was during the Mabul.
But he didn't die during the Mabul.
Right, right.
So meaning he wouldn't have been buried scattered around.
His descendants maybe might be. Oh, right, right. You're right, you're right. That's a good point. Yeah. The ones that would be scattered wouldn't have been the good ones. Right. You're right. So yeah, that's a question, I guess, on what Tosus is assuming. So again, our question is, are we worried about non-Jewish graves or Jewish graves? And Michael is pointing out that if they're non-Jewish graves, before the flood, it was certainly non-Jewish. That's a good point. The second answer, though, is even seems to deal with even with the Jewish graves. There are plenty of Jews that were killed over the. Many people don't want to travel to Europe, to like Poland or Lithuania, because it's one big Jewish cemetery. You know, that there's, during the Holocaust, there were Jews killed everywhere. That was like that's the feeling over there. And so go visit a place like that, you're stepping on graves. It's there are people that feel that strongly. The survivors definitely felt that. We're removed from that. And so, it's more people are traveling there. They don't have, they feel the value. But that's what Tosa is saying. You go to Chutz Loretz, you're going to be stepping on Jewish graves somewhere.
I guess the other question I have is, we're talking about the airspace versus the walking on the dirt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we said, well, if you're in this container, but why have to be in a container? What if you're just on a wagon? Touching the ground. Why is that not airspace also?
Because if you travel over a dead body, so normally the tumah would go straight up. But if you're in there's certain kinds of containers where the tumah won't go in. So that so therefore it would only be airspace. It wouldn't be. And what's really interesting is Rav Moshe debates really about being on a plane, which has a dead body in the under hold. that maybe you're in the sealed wagon in the top hold, and so therefore you're not affected. Recently, they discovered that a lot of the planes, especially in Israel, they when they leave at night, they travel over the cemetery, because at night they're not supposed to travel over the city. It wakes people up. People don't like to have plane noises. But you travel over the cemetery, they don't complain about the noise. So they had the plane that was traveling like through the over the Jewish cemeteries, and so the Kohanim discovered this. And even though it's debatable whether our planes would fit the exact requirements of the sealed these sealed wagons and stuff. And
they're pretty well sealed. I don't know they had anything that would seal better than an airplane.
Even a car, you could debate, but it's there are certain requirements exactly how to make them. The question is if we know how to do it. What's interesting is Rabbi Reisman has this the shir on the Tumah V'Tahara. In the times of the Beis Hamikdash, they found like remains in Israel of cups made out of dung. And they were thinking that was a strange thing to make cups out of, you know. And one of the reasons, there's a Mishnah that the Kohanim in Yerushalayim, they had to keep laws of purity. And earthenware, if it became tummy, you'd have to break. And so they used other materials. So he said, today we have petroleum like plastics. And they don't catch tumah. They're not like metal. And so today it would be very easy to keep the laws of purity because you have plastics and you have disposables and you have, and he was saying that like Hashem is making the times of Mashiach, it'll be much easier. So we'll be able to have like cars that we'll be able to travel and just close the window, and we'll be able to have planes, and it would be much easier today to create this kind of Shita Teva Migdol than maybe in ancient times. I don't know if they had the materials to create these big boats and sealed. But I don't know exactly what would be required to make it 100%. Ramosha kind of debates that. So they had these strange, they had people traveling on planes who were like doing strange things to
going
try
back.
To. What?
Going back?
Yeah, the coin bag or something. I didn't know exactly what that was going to do. Or is that like sealing it better? I didn't get the impression that was a mainstream idea. I got that was kind of some kind of minority view or some kind of. But it's really just to make sure the requirements are met. I'm just pointing out that it could be that when Mashiach comes, because of modern technology, it'll actually be pretty easy to keep away from Tumah. You know, we'll have these planes and boats and sealed things, and we'll have plaques. Plastics, we won't have to deal with dung containers or whatever, or worry about metal or the, you know, an ancient that was hard to get, you know, not deal, even things in the Beis Hamikdash, it was hard to use materials because they couldn't use anything that was used as a weapon, you know, they weren't allowed to use metals, and so they had to get that special creature that helped cut the stones, and we have lasers today, so we have other ways of doing it, you know, so it'll be, you know, if it's a show, we need to build the Beis Hamikdash, we'll just pull out our laser and, you know, do whatever the, I don't know if you can use a laser on a stone. Actually, I don't know, but pretty powerful. Yeah, they want to use it to knock down missiles now. That's the so you can use it. But this technology,
does that make it a weapon?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, you can knock out weapons, right. But there is a concept that everything that we have, you know, in Messianic times, it'll all come in handy. But at any rate, that's the Tosos here about traveling in Kutzlorts and the question of the Gemara. There was this rabbinic decree that if you travel, that you've become Tameh, and some purification is needed before you come back into the land of Israel. Was it a more of a social thing that they wanted, as Tosos says, to get people not, you know, in Israel, the people love to, even the soldiers, they love to vacation in India. They love to go to Turkey. Like, they have this thing that they just want to get that experience, like to just go travel the world. Then they'll come back to live in little Israel, so to speak, or then they'll come back. But some people have that. And then there are other people that have never left Israel their whole life. And people have never left Yerushalayim their whole life. You know, and so it's a different, but is it the rabbis discouraged it, or is it more a practical tumah, the areas around they would kill Jews? That the more it talks about not getting a haircut at amongst the non-Jews, because if you turn, you know, or making sure you have a mirror, because they'll take the blade, and the pagans would, would kill Jews. They look for human, there'd be humans around there. Okay, back to the Gemara. Ibolu Eretz Ami Mishum Avira Gozer. Is it because of the airspace, which is a lighter tumma, as Rashi said, or do Mishum Gushig, or is it because of the dirt and the tumma, the dead bodies buried there? So Tashma, let's see what we can prove. Umaze Bishlishi Bishvi, our Mishnah says, if you leave the land of Israel and you come back, you need to get the double spritz. That's the super duper purification process. The Iyam is Mishum Avira. If it's just an airspace kind of thing, it's a Hazal Lomeli. This is reserved. The Paraduma ashes are specifically for dead bodies. It's not just because, you know, you went outside the land, it wasn't so good, you know. So this is real Toma here. So Mora says, Elala Mishum Gush. So clearly it has to do with the dirt and the dead bodies and the aborted fetuses and all that stuff that's there. The Mora says, Lo Lame, that's not a good proof. Lo Lame, Mishum Avira. Really, it's just because of the airspace. Aye, the Mishnah said you need to purify from death. Toma v'kik tani yashar. The Mishnah, which said you got to purify from death, wasn't referring to this case. It was referring to the other cases of the Mishnah. And maybe you feel this is a difficult, a far-fetched answer. No, how can I? It's logical. Meditani v'kelim, because the Mishnah also mentions that vessels that touch a dead body, you don't usually do the double spritz. Hani kelim b'nei hazayin. Obviously, you don't. Vessels don't get paraduma. I mean, people get the double spritz from paraduma ashes. Elish ma'mina ashar. So clearly, there's some things in the Mishnah that don't get the double spritz. So the bottom line is, we didn't prove this either way. Was it a lighter decree and didn't have to do with death tumah, or was it a heavy duty decree and had to do with death tumah? So now the Gemara says, Leima ketanoi. Apparently, this debate may have been an earlier debate. And we've quoted some of this in previous Gemaras. Ha'niknas Eretz Yisrael. I'm sorry, Niknas, I said Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Amim. You go into the land of the nations. You know, Jews always knew that we didn't belong where, you know, in the land of the nations. It's not ours. That's why today you see, you know, people that were successful and everything was wonderful, and then they just pick up and they go to Israel and they downsize and they go through difficulties, and it's just that because they know that this is the land of the nations. This land isn't our land. But anyway, and this Eretz Amim, Beshita Teva Migdo, if you go in and you're insulated, you're in the box. Rabbi Mitame, Rabbi says you're still Tame. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Mitahar. He says, no, if you're in the box, you don't open the windows, you're in good shape. If you make sure not to get the tumah from the goyim, you're okay. So my love, what's the machlokus? Rabbi Savar Mishum Avira. Rabbi, he says, well, just being in the air, just the fact that you left, it's not a practical thing. So even in the box, you're in trouble. Yosef Yehuda Savar Mishum Gush. No, the problem is if you touch the dirt, you didn't touch the dirt. So you see, that's the argument. The Gemara said, well, maybe not. Lo, the kuli amnu shum gush. Everybody could agree. The issue is when you touch the dirt or lean over the dirt of the dead bodies. The question is, does the box work? And it has to do with the fact that it's a moving box. It could be when you're in a structure, you can insulate yourself. But maybe a moving structure, a temporary moving structure, won't do the trick. Marsava or is the okshmeo. One holds, that's, no, a moving structure is a structure. Is a houseboat a house? You know, is it one view is even though it's moving, it's still called the structure. Marsav lo shmeil, and Bahatanya, and we can prove this debate. By the way, Rashi here says this is always a puzzle when you learn a new Gemara: is the Tanya a question or is the Tanya a proof? So Rashi, we've been telling you our Rashi likes to give away everything. Rashi Bahatanya the Messiah. This is the proof. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omar Teva Shimole Kalim. Let's say you've got a box full of vessels, and somehow it gets tossed on a dead body inside another structure. V'im Haisim Munachas Tahara. If it's moving, it's Tame. But if it's not moving, it's Tahar. So you see, there is a difference between moving and not moving. In other words, this idea of a sealed container, there's a view that if it's moving, it could still contaminate. So what do you see? So that you see that that's not the debate there. Ela kuli alma mishum avira. Really, everybody agrees it was a rabbinic decree of being in the airspace. Umar sabra kivin de lo shkiach, since it's not so common to be in one of these sealed containers, lo gozer be rabbani. The rabbis didn't get to didn't speak of such a case. They were worried about people actually stepping on the dead body. They weren't talking about being in the box. Oh, they're thinking out of the box. No, the rabbis, they said it doesn't matter. Even if it's not common, they decreed tumah. Fatanya, as we learned, if you travel in the land of the Gentiles, even in a sealed box, so then you're Torah. But if you travel bekerin ubesfina ubeiskria, if you traveled in a wagon or a boat or an iskria, you're tame. What's an iskria? I forgot. Anybody remember? A ship? Okay.
Then what's the sfina?
A boat.
It's a wagon, a boat, or a masted ship.
It's a ship bigger than a boat?
Is that how?
Oh, a
sailboat.
Oh, I see. Oh, the mast. I see. But Ishkria is a sailboat, I guess. That's a larger. You boys say. Or if you want, maybe the debate is you're going to stick your head out to get a better look. It's true, you're in the boat. Please. You're going to stick your head out, or the majority. So the bottom line is, there are a number of ways to learn the debate of what exactly. There was this debate about this impurity about traveling in the lands of the nation, and there were multiple views about exactly the parameters of the decree. So we can't lock it in exactly what the debate was, because there were multiple views about, would the box work? Yeah.
When they were gozer on the Avir, mm-hmm. does that mean theoretically, let's say they inspected the land and it's all like gush-free, you know, tummy-free land, would the Avir still have the gezerah on it, or is the gezerah on the Avir because really we're not sure what's going on in the gush?
So I'm not sure. I mean, the rabbinic decree would be that even though if there was an area, let's say, what about if you traveled on the water or a place where there was no bodies buried or whatever, but it was like a low plug. They made the decree if you travel, because you can't differentiate in that way. But you have a point that there was a Rashi before that it could be, it was like a double thing because of the air and the land, or just the air. It's not real clear, again, what the limitations of the decree. So, okay. Then we move on. So we said that if you become Tame with a minor Tumah, again, if a Nazir got the major death Tumah, again, death is it's interesting, but that's the strongest form of Tumah we have is death. We've got creepy Tumah, we've got seminal emissions, we got leper Tumah, we got all kinds of Tumah, but death Tumah is the strongest. But we said these lighter Tumahs, the Nazir doesn't lose the count, but he does have to purify himself, because the Nazir is a higher level of purity, and he purifies himself, and after he purifies, then he can continue counting. It says, Umaska Umona. Then he begins again. So Omri Chista, when we say he has to begin, why does he have to begin if he doesn't lose his count? So he says, Loshna El Nazirus Moetis. It's because it's a small Nazirus, 30 days, and we had before that you always need to, since he's taking the shave and he's starting over, so you always need to have at least 30 days of growth to start another Nazir, to finish the Naziris. Alba Naziris Meruba, but let's say he did a longer Naziris. Misalka Nami Slikale. So then he can count the days he had until now. Nesivir Shrabia, here's a question. Masku Mon Miyad. It says he starts counting right away. He doesn't lose his earlier days. But my, what's that case where he doesn't lose? If he's doing a short Nazirus, so what does it mean he doesn't lose his earlier days? He still needs Gaboy Gidul Ser. He still needs to have some hair. We've always had that when you start over, you always have to have at least 30-day growth of hair. Elab Nazirus Meruba, as we turn the page. Clearly, we're talking about a long Naziris. Viktani Masku Mona Miyad. So, and it sounds like you got to start over. So we're confused about the case. Do you start over? Is it a short Naziris and you just got to do 30 more? Or is it a long Naziris? So he asked the question, who most of Lev, who Mepharikle? It's always good. There are people who ask questions. So sometimes you pause and you say, all right, what's the answer? You know, like the person, when he asked the question, already knows, has an answer in mind. So he asked it, and he had an answer in mind. The Nazirus Bas Chamishim Yom, it's a 50-day Nazirus. The Yosef Estrim, he had done 20 days. This Yelda Bay Saras, and then he got the plague. So Megalek Saras, so then he has to shave for his Saras, but then Vahadar Yosef Tlas and Yom the Nazir, and then he's got to do 30 more days of Nazir. The Isle Giduser, and he doesn't lose the days, but this way he'll have the 30 days of hair, and he can count the 20 days he did until now. We were kind of confused because basically he's always going to need 30 days after he shaves to start over. On the other hand, we said we counted the earlier days, so it's not a super long Naziris, it's a 50-day. He counts the 20, he puts it on hold to purify himself, and then he finishes off the last 30. Nesiv Rami Bar Chama has a question. Nazir Shayu Tami B'Safek U'Mukhla B'Safek. Now we have one of those fun cases, I say fun is in a funny way, where a person is unsure. You know, when you're sure, you know what to do. When you're unsure, you have doubts. Sometimes people ask me this question. I'm not sure if I made it non-kosher and I put it in the drawer, or I didn't put it in the drawer. What do you want me to do? You know, I'm going to tell you what you did. You know, I can't be a prophet. You know, I might have done this. I might, you know. I understand they're asking the Shiloh, but I'm just saying, like, if you're not sure, if you don't know, so how am I going to know? Like, what do you do when a person isn't sure if he became Tameh, and he isn't sure if he got Tsaras? And so in order to purify himself and solve the... So normally, if you became Tameh, you have to take a shave. But in case he didn't become Tameh, he's not allowed to take a shave. So he's going to have to count the days of Naziris in case he didn't become Tameh. And then he's going to have to count the days of Naziris in case he did. And then, well, what if he had Tsaras and then neither counts? And then he's going to have to... So that's the kind of case we're going to start off with tomorrow, which we're not going to do today. But what do you do when he's got a double doubt? He might have been a Nazir, he might not. He might have been Tameh, he might not. He might have had Tsaras, he might not. And so we'll have to get him out of that situation. We look forward to that tomorrow. Okay, have a great day, everybody. Be well.